You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 65. Today's show, we're talking about the 80-20 of personal productivity and focus with Ash Roy. My name is Adam John, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. What's going on, Grant?
Not much, buddy. Look, focus, focus, focus. It is the only way to be productive and ensure that you get the most out of every business scenario. I cannot suggest heavily enough, if you are an entrepreneur, you need to download the framework we covered today by just going to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/065 for episode 65.
So today we're going to do some inner work and look at personal productivity and focus. Sometimes it feels like we run around putting out fires all day and never really achieve anything in a work day, even though we spent 12 hours in the office. So I'm super pumped for this one, as most business owners focus on new sales, getting leads, building culture, expanding the company, etc. But really successful people understand the value of focus, productivity, time management, goal setting, leverage, etc. And it's kind of one of those things that we never ever really get taught. And it doesn't really go on anyone's priority list, as it's not as tangible as, say, a new sale or designing a new product and service. Another important point in business is how you lead your team. If you're the captain of the ship and you're not getting much done, if you're not focused and not locked in, this is going to be a direct reflection of your company. It will filter through to your management and it'll filter all the way down to the mailroom, making for a lackluster company with poor to average performance. So if you feel like you're not getting much done compared to the hours you put in, if you feel like you're treading water a bit, maybe you lost your mojo a bit, or if you simply got into some really bad habits, listen up. Grant, your thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, mate. Look, I couldn't agree more. Productivity and focus are the two words that people love to throw around, whether they really don't know what they truly mean, right? So if someone sends out 10 emails, they believe that they've been productive. However, their work is generally unfocused and not actually achieving the greater goals for their business. If someone doesn't check their Facebook for 30 minutes, they usually believe that they're super focused on a task. However, they might be bouncing between contextually different tasks, causing no real productivity change. And this is why today's episode is extremely important. It is no secret that we need to be extremely focused on being successful for whatever goals that we're trying to achieve. And what helps us achieve this is being productive in delivering the tasks that will achieve this. But too many of our listeners, and even my friends, always ask the questions of how can I decrease my distractions just in order for me to become more productive? I'm working huge weeks to be successful, but don't know why or if I am focusing on the right tasks. How do other successful entrepreneurs make it look so easy, but it always seems to be so hard for me? And how can I stop getting interrupted by my team, my clients, etc., just so I can focus in on getting more tasks? The list is honestly endless around this, and it's exactly why we created today's episode. It's not about your business, it's about you. Through many years of research and guidance, our guest has managed to master these tactics and has given this time just so that he can pass that knowledge directly onto you and share exactly what he's got through his experience. So today we've got Ash Roy. Welcome to the show, Ash.
Thanks for the welcome. Man, what a build up. And that's a fantastic, fantastic background you've created, a great setting for this conversation. So I'm really pumped to have this conversation and give as much value as I can.
Mate, I can't wait to get started. So Ash, you and I have never actually met face to face, but it was one of those you always need to talk and meet Ash scenarios in my life. So it probably took me around a good 6 months before I ever reached out to you and just said, hey, do you want to have a chat around all these things that everyone else is talking to us about? Funnily enough, you and I have talked on the phone and stuff. You are a genius. You're a kind-hearted individual, especially when you're saying that you're dropping your wife off at the hospital and I freaked out. You described as a doctor, right? Yeah. You're the founder of Productive Insights, where you and your team ensure that business owners know how to work on their business instead of in their business. And focus and productivity are one of the areas that you ensure that they can actually fix their business by fixing themselves first. That's exactly why we wanted you on. So to get started, how did you really get into or pulled or directed into the concepts around productivity and focus and really starting to understand that they are some of the largest barriers for entrepreneurs to succeed?
Well, that's a great question. And let me preface that answer by confessing that I, like a lot of people, was an information junkie. And ironically enough, I got into the whole productivity thing because I was obsessed with apps around the time apps got started in the whole, you know, iPhone ecosystem. And I was using a whole ton of apps, and I still tend to use a lot of apps, but with a lot more wisdom these days. And I found that the apps became an end in itself, which, as we all know, is not really about productivity. And over time, I came to realize that productivity is actually not about getting more done in less time. It's actually about doing less. Now, what do I mean by that? It's about focusing on the right things at the right time in the right sequence and giving more time and attention to the things that matter more to your business or to your life, depending on where you're trying to make an impact. So productivity is about making a bigger impact rather than doing more. And based on that principle, based on that concept, I started to change my approach to productivity and to my business. I also happen to be very interested in mindfulness as a concept. And while it has its origins in spirituality and Eastern mysticism, it has some very relevant concepts or relevant ideas that apply to business as well. And people use it more than you realize. I mean, for instance, Novak Djokovic uses mindfulness, and he was using it when he won the Wimbledon, for example. And it is used increasingly these days. And essentially, the practice of mindfulness is about being self-aware and about recognizing patterns that can be self-destructive. So if you're tending to check your emails compulsively, almost like a, you know, Pavlovian response, you hear that ping on your phone and you check your email, a mindful person would say, ah, there's my tendency to just reactively check my email. I'm going to make a choice in this split second to focus on what I'm doing and not give myself to context switching, which is something else we can touch on. So I've just thrown out a couple of ideas.
And that's why I don't own a smartwatch.
Right, right.
Was there this aha moment for you? Like, you're aware of all of these different scenarios that kind of come into play and hinder our ability. I know you've been doing business and MBA and stuff for quite a while. Was there a point in time where you've just gone, aha, that was the barrier that I had to get through, and now I know how other people have exactly the same barrier, and now I'm ready to teach everyone else about how to break through this themselves?
If there was one, I would have to give credit to James Schramko, because I started to really come to see this idea more and more through him. And he was the first entrepreneur that I saw that really preached the whole lifestyle first idea. That said, I've known this intuitively, but I've never... It's sometimes when someone else articulates it, it really brings it home to you. So seeing it being applied in real life and seeing someone who has a contrarian approach to business, which James does, was very helpful for me to realize, hang on a minute, you know, why am I killing myself here? I just need to slow down and just have more fun and let the insights come to me rather than chase them. The analogy here is, you know, we've all probably been there when we're young kids and we're in school or college or university or whatever, and you see this gorgeous girl and you know, try really hard to try and get her attention. And the harder you try, the harder it is to win her over. And I'm sure the reverse applies with girls talking to guys as well. And I think when you just decide to chill and not try to chase things so much, and the same applies to business, you start to realize things fall into place more.
I guess when we look back at this episode, do you reckon everyone listening to it will be able to implement some kind of improved focus or even achieve some greater productivity?
Absolutely. I want to talk about a specific system, and it's got five elements to it, all of which are mutually reinforcing. So if you like, I can run through that and then we can have our conversation around that.
Let's get right into it. So what would you say is the first one?
The first one, while this is not the one you have to necessarily do first, the one that I think is most important is the approach that Dwight Eisenhower created. And it's based on the idea that everything urgent is not necessarily important, and everything important is not necessarily urgent. This was made popular by a guy called Stephen Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Effective People, I think. And he based it around the idea of four quadrants. Now, the easiest way to think of the Eisenhower matrix is you have two axes. You imagine a graph, and you have your x-axis, which is going from left to right. Let's say that's, you know, from less urgent to more urgent. And you have your y-axis, which is going from down to up. And that is stuff that is less important and more important. And stuff that is falls into the most important and most urgent quadrant is stuff that is sort of crisis kind of stuff. You know, my staff are about to walk out. My office is about to burn down. I'm about to get put in prison because I didn't file my tax returns for 5 years. And you don't want stuff getting to that point. Quadrant two stuff is the stuff that is important, but not necessarily urgent. And this is the stuff which people have a tendency to ignore. It is stuff like building systems in your business, building staff morale, building a good culture in your business, empowering your staff to make decisions, creating standard operating procedures, thinking about the fact that instead of training people one-on-one every time they join your business, creating ScreenFlow videos, for example, where you give them these videos where they go and watch them first when you onboard them, and then you train by exception. So you say, hey, watch all these videos that I created on how to do various things in the business, and then come to me with questions. So you're not sitting there training each new person every time they start. So that's the second quadrant. The third quadrant is unfortunately where a lot of us spend most of our time, and that is stuff that is urgent but not important. Think emails, SMS messages, which, by the way, can be used very effectively. And I'll talk about that in a second. But stuff that is kind of has a tendency to interrupt your flow. And every time you get interrupted, according to studies, context switching happens, which is you're having to refocus your attention back to the first activity. And apparently the whole process takes about something like 20 minutes or something of productivity is lost. So the idea is not to be prone to these interruptions. And a huge proportion of us spend a large proportion of our day in quadrant three when we actually should be doing it in quadrant two. Yep. And you mentioned your way of doing that, Grant, is to just not have a smartwatch. And, you know, that's a great strategy. And then the fourth quadrant is, you know, watching cat videos on YouTube. That's the stuff that's not important and not urgent. Now, there is another way to slice this as well. You can take the same four-quadrant framework and do it on a time basis if you want to. Because the thing is, we all need the quadrant four stuff. We do need to do stuff that is unproductive to wind down. But my recommendation would be do the quadrant four stuff later in the day when your energy levels are low. In most cases, our energy levels are low in the evenings. And so watch your cat videos in the evenings. So time box stuff, you know, do your most productive quadrant two stuff in the mornings. Do your emails and stuff when you have a low point, or when you're, you know, just after lunch or whatever, do the quadrant three stuff then. And hopefully you don't have to get to the quadrant one stuff ever.
I think that's absolutely brilliant for people out there listening. And we've done a lot of shows on systemology and building processes and things like this that seem to fall into the second part of that framework there, which is building the systems and having those in place. Now, a lot of business owners out there completely skip that step. We've got a server that goes down, which goes into emergency mode. And then we've got other stuff that we jump straight into step number three, where it's urgent, but it's not that important. I think the biggest point I took away from what you said is not enough people spend enough time on that second point there, which is building the systems and having the right training in place.
And just one thing I want to say to that is, if you don't spend enough time in quadrant two, your server going down analogy is a great one. If you don't spend enough time in quadrant two, which is maintaining your server, the stuff that is important but not urgent, you end up in quadrant one. Server gone down, business about to go down.
Absolutely brilliant. Let's jump into the second step of the framework.
Okay, so the second step of the framework is having a systemic approach to business. And that is generally asking yourself, well, what is the long-term outcome that I want out of my business, and aligning your activities to that long-term outcome? So, for example, my objective of having my business, and I would say every business, is profitability, not revenue, but profitability. And if I want to be profitable, I need to spend time on the highest impact activities as the business owner, as much as my team needs to spend time on their highest impact activities. So it's about focusing on your areas of specialization. Now, we all have to do stuff that is outside of our area of specialization. For example, if you're a business owner, when you first start your business, you're the only person there, and training your staff when they first start is your responsibility. Now, training might not be your sweet spot, your area of specialization, but you still need to do it. So a great systemic approach to that, for example, would be creating training videos using ScreenFlow and having those videos sitting on your Google Drive or wherever you want, and then saying to your team when a new person comes on board, hey, go and watch all these videos and then come to me if you have questions. So that way you're training by exception rather than regurgitating the same thing and doing that knowledge transfer over and over and over again. So that would be an example of a systemic approach to training. And the same principle can be applied across every aspect of your business.
And I actually love this because for myself, I actually find in my personal life and business life is what I call habit stacking. And we also had, a gentleman called Nigel Moron, who's very much into systems and processes. And so what he did was his team were doing support tickets, and he just stacked a new habit on top, which said every time you had finished a new, like a delivering a process, you had to go and spend 5 minutes on improving that process. It's Love also it. Why straight after my yoga in the morning, I go directly into meditation, because it's that habit stack. So I already yes. had a process that I was in. And so having those systems, it's just like, this is what you do straight after, and making sure that you set yourself up, and to your point, the team up for success, is just critical. But reducing that barrier to entry, right, is the critical part. And your biggest barrier is that systems of scalability, meaning that if it's not your time that's being sucked down, then it means that everyone else can excel.
Yeah. And that habit stacking is such a valuable point, because what you're talking about is building momentum, right? I mean, if you, as you said, you're doing yoga and it lends itself to the meditation piece. So you just flow into the meditation rather than doing yoga in the morning and then doing a bit of work and then trying to create that space, that spaciousness, the mental spaciousness for meditation. It doesn't make sense to do that in a piecemeal approach. So absolutely, I think that's a very, very good point.
Brilliant. And what we might do is we might put those links to our previous shows on systemology and processes in the show notes for everyone playing at home, because they are another hour, 2 hours worth of content in itself. Yeah. What about step number three?
Okay, so step number three is understanding your effective hourly rate. Now, I always knew this principle, and I remember telling a friend of mine who owns a real estate agency that he should stop doing all the stuff himself when I was, you know, advising him 15 years ago. But it was very well articulated by James Schramko, where I came across it again, but this time in a more conscious fashion. And essentially, James describes the effective hourly rate as your profit per year, month, week, whatever, divided by the number of hours you spend generating that profit. So if your effective hourly rate works out to be $100 an hour, then if you're doing stuff that can be outsourced for $10 an hour, you are ripping yourself off and your business off by $90 an hour. The point here is to think about yourself as a cost to the business. You as a cost to the business are $100 an hour, because that's effectively what you're earning. If you are spending your hours checking email, and maybe you want to check email, I'm not saying that everybody has to outsource their email, I don't. But if you are spending your time editing videos or editing audio, which can be outsourced for 10 or 20 or 30 bucks an hour, you are robbing your business of that differential. Now, I will say this, that there are some things that do fall into the $10 an hour category that do need to be done by you because they're either strategically important or sensitive or both. And those things can't be outsourced. But in most cases, you can outsource stuff. So that's the third idea. And I also want to say that both the effective hourly rate and the systemic approach all tie back to the Eisenhower matrix. And in fact, I'm working on launching a course around this called Premium Productivity. And I've tried to link all these concepts to each other. So the Eisenhower matrix kind of underpins all this. Having a systemic approach to your business is a quadrant two activity. Not having a systemic approach and doing things in a piecemeal way and then ending up repeating it over and over again is a quadrant three type activity. Thinking in terms of effective hourly rate and saying, is this the best use of my time, or should I be outsourcing this work to somebody else who can do it for cheaper to the business? That is a quadrant three approach.
Delegate. Yep.
Delegate, yeah. And by the way, the Eisenhower matrix can be used for a delegation framework as well, where the quadrant three stuff is stuff you would delegate, and quadrant two you would do yourself, and quadrant four you would
eliminate.
Well, either not do or eliminate. Yep. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. So that's the effective hourly rate. That's the third principle, and that applies to the prior two principles. Going forward, I'm going to try and reinforce these concepts back to the Eisenhower matrix, because I think that's important. They're all mutually reinforcing.
I love that. And I couldn't agree more. It's funny, in one of my businesses, the co-founders, I say, you will never get paid until you can justify $1,000 a day, which is give or take $120 an hour, because it's to reinstill the fact that if you can't make the business profitable in order to pay an effectively hourly rate that I believe you're worth, then you shouldn't actually receive a salary until that point, right? And so then they always look back and say, well, hang on, am I actually doing work that is going to be closely relevant to justifying $120 an hour, which is a decent amount of money for anybody in the world, right? And so that's how I've just ingrained it. So there are days where they just don't get money because I'm like, well, you haven't been able to produce the output for that effectively hourly rate yet. Now, fortunately, we can do that because they're not an employee, right? It's a co-founder, so I've got no legal obligations. But that's how I've kind of forced that mindset around. Hey, you're not thinking about $20. You're not working in a retail store and things like that. So I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And that comes back, what you just said comes back to focusing on the long-term goals of your business, which is profit and, you know, profitability. So if you're focusing on $20 an hour stuff, effective hourly rate, you're not really focused on your long-term business goals. No one wants to build a business that is paying them $20 an hour.
Correct. That's it.
At what point, you know, we talk about doing jobs below our pay grade, and when we start a business, often we're a one-man band and we're wearing many hats and we're doing many jobs ourselves.
Yep.
Now, we can't outsource everything from the get-go. Correct. Because we won't have that cash flow coming in unless we have a lot of capital behind us, but that can be dangerous in its own sense.
Absolutely.
At what point as a business owner do we get there and we start analyzing, say, right, I'm getting $100 an hour, this is costing $10 an hour, how can I start delegating this? Because I'm sure it's a fine balancing act for many businesses.
Sure, but you do it from day one, in my view, and if I was to do my thing over again, I would. The point being that you focus on less projects, and that way you can afford to be more choosy. So for instance, you know, I remember when I started, I was willing to give my time away for a very low fee. And by the way, I want to differentiate effective hourly rate from your billable rate, okay? But they are related in a sense. So if you are taking on projects that are going to underprice you in the market or you think are not worth your time, you're doing work for $20 an hour, then yeah, it's going to be harder for you. It's going to take longer for you to go and hire staff. So I think the key is being strategic right from the get-go and saying, what projects and tasks can I take and how do I position myself in the market to command a higher effective hourly rate? Now, this is moving more into the marketing side of things, but it's about putting yourself in front of the right prospects. So, for example, I have a background in business and finance and strategy. I have an MBA, I have a CPA, and here I was trying to go to cafe owners and trying to say to them, hey, I can help you grow your business. Cafe owners that weren't going to probably pay me $500 an hour, which is what I charge for my time. But when I went to a lawyer, for example, and turned her business around, she was more than happy to pay that sort of money. It's about targeting the right prospects who can pay you what you're worth.
Agreed.
Very good point. Jumping into step number four.
Okay. So step number four is the 80-20 rule. And this ties back into the Eisenhower matrix insofar as it's about refocusing on quadrant two. So the 80-20 rule essentially says that 20% of your effort delivers 80% of your results. And it was coined by a guy called Pareto. I think he was an Italian economist.
Pareto.
It's also known as a Pareto efficiency theory. And the idea is that 20% of most things in the world are believed to deliver 80% of their results, give or take. And so 20% of your hours in your day, so 2 hours out of your 8 hours, are going to deliver 80% of your results. Question is, what is that 2 hours going to be? And, you know, I'm always trying various experiments. Right now, I'm working 1 or 2 hours a day, and I'm just doing that 20% that delivers 80% of my results and just goofing off for the rest of the time because I think that helps me get more ideas about my business and helps me just have fun and, you know, achieve the objectives of having started this business in the first place, which I also think is very important. So the question here to ask yourself is, what is the 20% that delivers 80% of my results? And that effectively takes you back to your quadrant two focus. Now, one specific action you can take to do this actually is creating a massive list of things. So doing a mental dump of all the things you think you have to do and then creating a not to do list, you know, and moving a whole lot of stuff off that. I mean, Steve Jobs did that very effectively. He would make people write 10 tasks and scratch out the bottom seven and say, okay, now we can only do the top three, you know, things like that. It's about learning to say no. And a book on essentialism is pretty good. I actually also did an interview with Taki Moore and he had some good ideas around this. You know, he, instead of inbox zero, he would talk about zero inbox. And there's a couple of interviews, with James Framco. He touches on those very well as well. So I can send you the links later on if you think they're useful.
One way that I've always tried to do it, and I'm not perfect in any sense, was I used to be heavy on the Pomodoro technique, which Ash, you and I have been talking about before. And I used to set myself 4 to 6 Pomodoros a day. I know people try and achieve like 10 and 20 a day.
Yeah.
And I'd say these 4 to 6 are back to back and they are only focusing on that 20%.
Yep.
Until I become an expert at only being able to hit that 20%, I think it's the 80% output. And then I understand that the rest of my day is probably not going to be highly effective or efficient work. It's probably going to be sort of that between focused and unfocused, if you will, yep. emails, client requests, all this yep. stuff. But at least I know that every single day I've got that 3 to 4 hours
right.
goes and actually impacts that 80% of the company. And so that's one way that I found was just time boxing, like literally saying between 9 to 12, I'm going to fit in 6 Pomodoros and ain't no one. Like Slack goes off, Skype goes off, my Dropbox gets unsynced, everything just poof. No one can contact me until I achieve it. That's how I took the 80-20 principle and just forced it into myself.
I really like that. And you just said time boxing. I remember writing an article somewhere on time boxing, which was very well received because that's exactly what you want to be doing. Time boxing and essentially creating rhythms, right? So we have rhythms of productivity and learning to work within those rhythms. So don't try and be productive when you feel like normally goofing off. You know, goof off, enjoy your goofing off time. But when you're goof off properly, but don't let that bleed into the time, you know, in your prime time, which would for most of us be in the early hours of the day.
Yeah, correct. And what about number 5?
Okay, so number 5 is kind of my own little twist on it, and that is the idea of mindfulness. And mindfulness is essentially the act of paying attention. You can think of it as meditation in action. It's really just paying attention to what you're doing in the moment with an awareness of your breath. And you typically want to try and take 2 or 3 deep breaths to sort of anchor yourself. The idea of mindfulness, some of the benefits of having a mindful approach is it allows you to center yourself in your body as opposed to your mind by using your breath as an anchor. And some of the most unproductive behaviors, in my view, ironically, come from being very, you know, busy in the head and, you know, frenetic. So being able to drop down into your body, anchor yourself in the breath and notice the movement of the breath and then take that softer approach to productivity really allows you to have that awareness of, am I really doing the things that are going to move the needle in my business right now? Or am I just spinning my wheels in the sand? Here's a good little tip. Eastern philosophy believes that the breath is intricately connected to the mind. When your breath is deep and slow, your mind tends to be calm and more relaxed. When your breath is fast and shallow, your mind tends to be more agitated. Now, here's the interesting thing. You can regulate your thoughts to some degree by regulating your breath, which is why when we take 3 deep breaths, when we're kind of freaking out, like, oh my God, I've got all this stuff to get done. And you take 3 deep breaths and you find that your mind starts to slow down and calm down. And it allows you to create that soft focus, which I recently spoke to a guy called Dr. Srini Pillai, the assistant professor of psychiatry from Harvard. And he was talking about this a lot as well, the soft focus. He talks about using the power of unfocus to be more productive. And by that, he means that soft focus. So being really frenetic and zeroed in on things obsessively can actually be unproductive. Again, it comes back to my original point. Productivity is not about getting more done in less time. It's not about this frenetic drive for getting more done. It's about making a bigger and deeper impact, which over the long term gets more done, not necessarily as a result of your direct efforts, but as a result of the systems, processes, and businesses that you build from your efforts. It's being able to swing the door by oiling the hinges rather than trying to push on the door, working smart, not working hard. And mindfulness helps you to do that. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's some great points that you just put in there. And we talk about, you know, when you're in a high stress environment, we talk about activating your fight or flight
yes.
modes. And, you know, when a bear's chasing you, you're not actually going to sit down and come up with anything creativity. But if you go out and you sit in nature, then you're going to be a lot more creative and you're going to be open to those, you know, scenarios. And we talk about goofing off. Well, and we've talked about people like James Shanko, you know, myself and him. We love surfing. We love kiteboarding. All those types of activities to get yourself away from those problems. And then you can get into meditation and yoga and bits and pieces like that. So if you want to be more creative and use your imagination and not be so highly stressed, I'd urge people to sit down and look at meditation and things like that. So look, we're coming towards the end of this episode. Grant, I know you've been stuck there scribbling away in your notepad there frantically, and we've had lots of knowledge bombs being dropped in this episode. Can you come up with a bit of a framework for us, something that people take into the office tomorrow and be a little bit more productive in their habits?
Right. I love this episode. I think it's one of my favorites. And The thing I'll say before I jump into it is it's not the fact of implementing the five parts of this framework all in one go. Start working from the top to the bottom of the list, and as you start refining, you'll see things that work for yourself that you just might not have ever heard of before. So again, the way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, right? So step number one, Eisenhower Matrix. I absolutely love it. Break it down to four quadrants. First quadrant is do. It's the important and urgent tasks such as sales, scalability, etc. Quadrant two is plan. So this is important and not urgent. So systems, culture, etc. Quadrant three is delegate. So it's not important but urgent. Remember, urgent to someone else usually, not to yourself. So this is emails, interruptions, ad hoc requests, etc. Quadrant number four is eliminate, right? So not important, not urgent. So this is Facebook, cat videos, all of those things that we love doing, right? So Eisenhower Matrix is all about understanding that everything urgent is not important and everything important is not always urgent. And it's about selecting and doing the urgent and important tasks and only focusing on in on that. Part number two to the framework was a systemic approach to value, right? So you always want to focus your goals on what gets you there, not what others want you to do to achieve their own goals. And this can be things like building out systems to make sure that you're scalable so that you keep progressing. And every time you hit that roadblock, you walk through it. You want to also stack your habits. So you don't want to make it impossible for you to achieve this system. So build systems. It's why people put gym clothes next to their bed just so they go to the gym straight away. They're removing these barriers that constantly stop them. And remember, try not to do the same task over and over again in your business. In life, it's fine going to the gym, meditation, all that stuff. But in your business, always progress forwards. You want to excel yourself. Part number three is your effectively hourly rate. The calculation is profit per month divided by hours you worked in the month equals your effectively hourly rate. If it's anything less than 50, I trust you to go and double check it. It should be more than 100 easily. Ensure you focus heavily on what creates the greatest value and impact. This really helps you in your business by focusing in on building products and services that can extract the highest effectively hourly rate from you and your team. And it's always coming back to that. So if you're a one-on-one consultant, you're only ever going to get the amount that people are charging you for. So always don't put in hourly rates in there. Put in an output or a result. Number four is Pareto's Law or the 80-20 principle. So 20% of effort creates 80% of the results. For myself, I said I love the Pomodoro technique. I select in a day that I'm going to do six of them, achieve it when no one else can interrupt me. You can learn to say no to people and their requests. You can time box tasks. But really, it's all about asking yourself five times a day or five times a week, am I working on the 20% of tasks that extracts 80% of the outputs in my business? And part number five, the best one, is mindfulness, the art of paying attention through awareness of taking a breath. Now, every 45 minutes on my computer, I actually have a pop-up that says breathe. So this is one way that I always force myself to slow down. And it's all about stopping, dropping down into yourself, taking those few deep breaths, and you can just continue doing what you were doing again. Or this is a really good time to stop and start understanding, am I doing what I really should be doing? And this is why I love meditation and yoga so much. It is that time and place to really stop and push yourself into it. So Ash, how did I go on your five-part framework?
That was awesome, man. I thought that was fantastic. You really sum things up beautifully. I would just add one thing, and that is you don't need to go and do meditation, because that often is quite intimidating to people. You can just start with focusing on your breath right now where you are and notice the change you find in your mental state and then use that.
I love that point, Ash.
Ash, it's been awesome having you on today and we really appreciate your insights. Can you tell us where we can go find out a little bit more about you? Website, social media, some place to connect with you.
Yeah, sure. You best place is just head over to productiveinsights.com, which is my website, and you can find a whole stack of interviews, including the one I did with the Harvard guy that I think would be relevant. You can also go to, in terms of social media, I'm Ash Roy Helps, so it's at Ash Roy Helps on Twitter, and I'm available on Facebook and all the other channels. But the best place really is to just go to my website and also check out my podcast on iTunes. You just type in Productive Insights into iTunes and my podcast comes up.
Fantastic. fantastic. And we'll have all those links in the show notes for everyone playing along at home.
Thank
you. We'll be doing this conversation over at Facebook. You can go to Facebook and search for More Time, More Profit group and join in the conversation with us there.
Look, thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, and let us know exactly what you've taken away from this episode in a review.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, the same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, everybody.
See you, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.